I'm Carson Sestouli of Fangraphs.com, and this is the Pitch Talks Blue Jays podcast, brought to you by Homestand Sports. Yes, it is the Pitch Talks Blue Jays podcast. I'm Carson Sestouli. That's also true. With me is frequent co-host and Fangraphs managing editor Dave Cameron, because Dave Cameron is no longer managing editor of Fangraphs.com. Instead, he works for the research development department of San Diego Padres. Instead, joining me is what one might consider a massive upgrade on Dave Cameron, formerly of Lookout Landing and Baseball Prospectus, currently the managing editor of the Hardball Times and a contributor to Fangraphs.com, a frequent contributor to Fangraphs.com. It is Meg Rowley. Meg, hello.
Hello.
Meg, can you confirm this is the sound of your voice?
This is the sound of my voice.
Okay, it always sounds just like that. Very good. Meg Rowley, what you know and what you will, what you are forced now to hear again is that this is the Pitch Talks Blue Jays podcast, and it is sponsored by Homestand Sports. Homestand Sports, of course, hosts what are known as Pitch Talks events. And Pitch Talks events are sort of situations where people come together, talk about sport, drink beer. Would you add anything to that description? And B, do you have any experience with Pitch Talks events? And C, if so, could you elaborate on that experience?
I think that's a good description. I have done one Pitch Talks event. I maybe mentioned this the last time, so you'll have to forgive me if I'm...
Remember.
Repeating myself. I did one. They came to Seattle, and Dave was there, and so was Jeff Sullivan and a number of good folks from Lookout Landing and Baseball Prospectus and other sort of Mariners adjacent and interested people. And it was great fun. We talked about baseball. In that case, we talked about the Mariners because it was in Seattle, and drank beers and drank them on stage, which was very exciting.
Also during my event, and I would say never do I feel more comfortable than at a place where the people who are actually responsible for the presentation are also drinking too.
Yeah.
I mean this in a very real, intimate way, as I felt they are part of this. We are all in this together. This is a real symposium.
Yeah, it's a very, it feels so nice, you know, it feels relaxed, like you're with friends, mm-hmm. You know, friends who you can't see very well because there are bright lights, and sometimes they send questions to you that you don't know the answer to, and then you have to scramble a little bit, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. Otherwise, just like being with friends.
Just like being with friends, and you know, actually, Meg, allow me to take this opportunity to inform you that if people would like to spend some time with new friends, they could do so actually tonight, June 14th, between 6 and 9 p.m. in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. It's the Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame event that Pitch Talks is facilitating. It's featuring Dan Schulman, for example, announcer Dan Schulman, and also some Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame inductees, including former Toronto Blue Jays player Lloyd Mosby, and probably most notably former member of the Montreal Expos and other teams, and a heaven on earth, Pedro Martinez. No, an angel on earth, Pedro Martinez.
Well, he'll be there. That sounds lovely.
Yeah. Tickets are available at Homestead Sports, although by the time that this has been published, just walk on over to the Rec Room and buy a ticket. The Rec Room, 6 to 9 p.m. That's today, Thursday, June 14th. The Rec Room, Thursday, June 14th, 6 to 9 p.m. I've said all of the relevant words. Why does the Pitch Talk Blue Jays podcast exist other than to shill on behalf of these Pitch Talks events? Well, it exists to provide dispassionate analysis of the Toronto Blue Jays, and that is what we will endeavor to do here. Allow me, Meg Rowley, to begin this portion of the conversation with just a bit of a recapitulation of the Blue Jays' most recent couple of weeks. I clear my throat because it's something I do when I'm nervous, but it's also because I'm forced to discuss the last couple of weeks of the Blue Jays season. They are, I think it was 5-7. 5-7 sounds about right since we last recorded an episode. Their chances of making the playoffs have decreased by 3 percentage points or something like 200%, however one would care to think about it. It's down below 2% now overall. This is sometimes a... I use this time to talk about how good they've been, or bad, I guess, over the last couple of weeks. They've been 22nd in terms of field position player war, and then, I don't know, middle of the pack in terms of pitcher war. Who have been their stars, would we say, such as stars exist? Well, Randall Grichuk has actually been pretty good, returning after his stint on the DL and maybe a few at-bats in the minor leagues. Randall Grichuk has actually been pretty good. That's good news for the Toronto Blue Jays. It would be better news if the rest of the team had been better. Jay Happ actually continues his excellent season. He's been one of the better pitchers in the major leagues over the past couple weeks. And he, as we will probably discuss post-haste, it's quite probable that he will not be a Blue Jays player for much longer. And when I spoke with Travis Sochik a couple weeks ago, we sort of focused on this, which was that probably, given the record, the Blue Jays were going to have to make some tough decisions. Those tough decisions have probably become a little bit easier over the past couple weeks. Does that seem right, Meg Rowley?
Yeah, probably. I mean, they had a little bit there where maybe they were going to turn things around.
And what was the little bit, Meg Rowley, are you referring to?
I don't know. You know, before Donaldson came back the first time. So, yeah, mm-hmm. Maybe they'll get guys back. They'll be in a position where they might be able to challenge for that second wild card. Maybe. Mm-hmm. And it does not appear that is no. true any longer.
No, so. They recently, and perhaps disappointingly, they lost 3 games to Tampa Bay Rays, who do not appear to be a bad club, but do not appear to be a particularly good club. They lost games in which the winning opposition starters were Ryan Yarbrough, Ryan Stanek, and Wilmer Font, who are actually all interesting in their own way, but none of them I think we are regarding as ace major leaguers.
No.
And in each case, at least the projection said that they would have some kind, you know, roughly even odds of winning, and they didn't. And so whether it's a question of talent or it's a question of misfortune, nevertheless, they find themselves in a position where they are unlikely to contend. And as Travis Sochik noted today, again, I guess 2 weeks ago, he noted today in the pages of Fangraphs, he suggests the Blue Jays look ahead to 2020. And I suppose this is a good area to probe. Now, Sochik says 2020 probably because the team has a number of good prospects, and mm-hmm. in particular, they have a number of good prospects at Double A. Their Double A infield, most specifically, Vlad Guerrero Jr. at third base, Bo Bichette at shortstop, and Kevin Biggio at second base. Biggio is not, I think, regarded quite as highly as the first two, but he has had a very interesting 2018 season so far. He's exhibited a lot of power. Those guys are all really promising, and if you figure a year to maybe become accustomed to major leaguers, to major league opposition in 2019, and then a real chance to actually perform in the major league level in 2020, that's probably why Sochik picked that date.
Plus, whatever, you know, we'll have a better sense of whatever return they may have gotten in hypothetical, theoretical, seemingly inevitable trades. Mm-hmm. Come the deadline, right, where they will no doubt be looking to try to fill in some of the pieces around those guys who are hopefully going to be part of the next really good Jays team.
Right, and I think you could make the case that they will probably be targeting players who are closer to the majors when they do that.
Yes.
Because, like, as they showed this offseason, it obviously has not gone their way, but and I spoke about this with Travis a couple weeks ago, like a number of the players they acquired like kind of gave them a chance to compete, even if that did not necessarily come to fruition. But, like, you know, Curtis Granderson and Randall Grichuk and Yervis Solarte, like, they were all you could look at them and say, yeah, that guy has a role. And so that was good. Here's a question, though, Meg.
Yeah.
Vlad Guerrero Jr., right,
yeah.
Currently injured.
Yeah.
However, during the over the first couple of months of the season, the minor league season, he's basically, I mean, he's not even necessarily just the best player in the Eastern League or Double A, like perhaps the very best player in all the minor leagues.
Yeah, he moved up ever so slightly in Eric and Kylie's latest prospect ranking, so he's now the number 2 overall ranked prospect in baseball.
Right, and moved up ever so slightly because there's not much...
Not much more room to go.
Right, not much more room ahead of him. Yeah, Shohei Ohtani graduated, of course, and Ronald Acuna is about to graduate. He's going to hit whatever threshold. So
yeah,
so you can make a pretty good argument that Vlad Guerrero is the best prospect in baseball right now.
Yep.
And the projections at Fangraphs suggest that he would hit right now as a 19-year-old person. That he would hit at a rate about 20% better than the average major leaguer.
Yep.
There remains questions about his present defense and also his the ability. In particular, he has a body.
yes, he does.
Body. And it's a body that does not look like it will necessarily remain totally fit throughout the course. Of his 20s into his 30s.
And I don't think I'm speaking out of turn when I say that he has seemed kind of indifferent to that fact, to yeah. the effect that fact might have on his ability to play defense. I think,
right.
he seems very clear-eyed in his value and where it lies, you know.
But he's like a batting prodigy.
Yeah, I mean, it's, yeah.
So, Meg.
Yes.
Make cases. I guess I'm going to ask you to argue on both sides.
Sure.
Okay. We could pretend either A, that Vlad Guerrero Jr. did not get hurt.
Or let's pretend he didn't get hurt.
Let's pretend he didn't get hurt.
That makes it easier.
But let's pretend that the Blue Jays are in the exact same situation.
Yes. Agreed.
And it's almost inevitable that they would be trading, J-Hap, Josh Donaldson, whatever assets they can.
Right.
Make the cases for and against promoting Vlad Guerrero to the highest level of baseball, at which all indications are that he would be competitive.
Well, I'll do the case against, because I personally am less in line with that one. The case against would be the sort of timeline that you've already laid out, right, which is that he's only 19, and the next realistically contending Jays team certainly won't be this year, probably won't be next year, will, as Travis pointed out, likely be 2020. And so I don't know that the Jays would necessarily be in a rush to start his clock. And, he is only in Double A, and he is only 19. And so the argument against not promoting him is that, you want to maximize the amount of time, sort of cost control time that you have with him at the major league level, so that he's around to be part of the next, part of the core of the next good or great Blue Jays team. That's the argument against.
Okay.
The argument for, I think, is twofold. One is that I think that from just I am not a player development expert by any means, but I think that when you look at his game, there isn't much left for him to do at the minor league level. There's probably not much for him to do at Triple A. The things that he's not good at, namely defense, are things that I think, as we've said, he's sort of largely indifferent toward. And I don't know that a prolonged stint in Triple A or, a continued stint in Double A is going to alter the trajectory of that skill set in any kind of meaningful way. And the hitting, as you've said, as our projections seem to indicate, is ready to go right now. And this team is a bummer. And I think that, it isn't what ends up making decisions in front offices. And I imagine that this will come down to, not starting his clock and trying to keep as much cost control time on the back end as possible. But I think it's a nice thing for teams to do for their fans when their team is a bummer, to give them something to be really excited about. And, you know, Vlad falls into that camp, right? Guerrero's in that camp. So I think that there's probably a player development case that there's not a lot left for him to learn against minor league arms, and that, you know, we should see what he's got against real live major league pitchers. And then from a fan enjoyment perspective, it would give people something to be excited about in a team that is not good now and will get worse after the deadline once it trades away pieces that are sort of keeping it afloat to the extent that it is now. So that's my case against keeping him down.
Right. Now, obviously, if the Blue Jays were to sort of follow the orthodox formula on here, right, what they would do is they would, if they really felt that Vlad Guerrero, you know, was basically a major leaguer, they would keep him down for, you know, whatever they required him at a time at the beginning of next year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like the just like Atlanta did with Ronald Acuña this year, and then they would call him up after that, and in so doing would get an entire year, extra year of of control over him, right?
Right.
And I don't think they'd have to make too many excuses, because regardless of how good he's been, he'll still only be like he'll be like basically have just turned 20.
Right.
When he arrives next year. So it's not surprising for them. He was born, let's see, he's born March 16th.
Right.
So yeah, he'll basically like just be turning 20 at the beginning of next, right, like the 2018 or 2019 season.
And whatever his indifference and its justification, there is a developmental issue with the defense, right? And that, now, I don't think that that is likely to change significantly at the major league level, but there is a deficiency in the game that they can point to and say, well, you know, stick around and go learn stuff so that we can try to, you know, optimize your game in a way that it isn't right now. So he is giving, his profile gives them that excuse.
Right.
Also.
Now, oh, what? Did you say no, also?
Also. It also does that. It, in addition to the age thing, I phrased it funny. We can move on.
So here's another point to consider, right? One other point to consider that might actually allow one to argue in favor of a promotion of Vlad Guerrero now, or again, or when he returns from injury, is that he is the sort of star level talent that a team is going to want to sign to a contract extension.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, teams have done it before where, because they realize that they're just going to end up effing around with the rules anyway,
right,
that they'll say to a player, hey, how about we just like we account for that, but you want to be in the major leagues probably because just day-to-day life is better in the major leagues.
Yep.
For human people, you know, the travel is like less arduous because you're living, you know, there's a lot more comfort. You're at that point, you're also working with probably the best coaches in the organization. And if the idea is you're going to end up there anyway, why don't we just sign you to an extension right away? Right.
Right.
Now, that's one thing that the Blue Jays could do. In that way, in some sense, they could salvage, or not salvage, but they could add some meaning to the 2018 season that would not be there otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
The only problem with that, however, might be this, which is that typically players who have benefited, players who have some sort of financial cushion already,
right,
typically are less likely to sign extensions. Sometimes that money is acquired by way of bonus, which why, for example, is Bryce Harper, you know, has probably felt no need to sign an extension with the Nationals. And sometimes it's because the players themselves come from wealth, and that is almost certainly true of Vlad Guerrero Jr., whose father, Vlad Guerrero, was compensated handsomely as a Major League Baseball player.
Right.
And he's not hurting, one assumes, for financial security.
Right.
And these players are typically harder to sign to extensions. So maybe Vlad Guerrero would be like, no, it's okay. I'm
good.
Doing fine. And despite this somewhat peculiar body that I have. I think that my hitting will equip me very well at the major league level, and I'll have no problem signing a giant contract after, you know, 6 or 7 years at the, you know, at the major league level, once I become a free agent.
Right.
Yeah. So that's the other thing. I think that yeah.
Well, especially because he'll be so young, right? When he hits free agency, he'll be so young. He won't have to, you know, since he's only 19 now, even if they start the clock next year, he'll just be a very young guy. So assuming that there isn't something catastrophic that happens down the line, I would imagine his advisors would tell him that he'd be well served to wait.
Right. So, for example, Eric Hosmer, I think, was the youngest free agent of this most recent offseason, and he's currently his age 28 year.
Right.
And he debuted as a 21-year-old.
Right.
So Vlad Guerrero was in a year before that. And that was, you know, whatever. Obviously, there were Eric Hosmer is in some ways a polarizing player. I don't think anyone thinks Eric Hosmer is bad. I think there are some folks who believe that, and probably among this camp, that he has generally been overrated as a ball player.
Right.
But his one great argument for Hosmer as a free agent this offseason was his youth relative to other free agents. And that acted in his favor, and that would act in Vlad Guerrero Jr.'s favor as well.
Certainly. Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. I guess the point is, like, I'll be honest, I don't necessarily have an idea off the top of my head. I'm sure that I feel like there's research to some effect that's available, but probably nothing this specific, which is, what is the value for the Blue Jays of adding Vlad Guerrero now? Does it make up for whatever you lose for not being able to have him for an extra year, I guess?
I mean, I think that they will likely say, no, it's not worth whatever we would gain in sort of fan buy-in this mm-hmm. year, because, you know, I think fans probably understand this isn't whatever Vlad might do, this isn't going to be a winning baseball team, and so at least not a playoff baseball team. And so I think that you know, fans are already probably looking to the future. They understand that infusion of young talent isn't going to do much until a couple of years from now, and so I think the front office will be able to tell a story which, you know, we as observers may or may not be comfortable with in terms of its implications for him as a person, but that they'll be able to tell a story about, you know, kind of where he is in his development track and where the organization is, and justify to their fans that we want to keep this young core together. And so I imagine we won't see him until they can not worry about, you know, starting the clock too soon. But it would be nice for all of us.
Have stranger things happened?
Oh, sure.
Like what? What's an example?
Well, the San Diego Padres gave a lot of money to Eric Hosmer. That was a weird thing. That was much stranger.
Okay. Meg Rally, this is the time of the program when I look ahead at the week for the Toronto Blue Jays. They are off today, but they will be heading home from Tampa Bay, or they have headed home from Tampa Bay to Toronto, and they will be playing the Washington Nationals and Atlanta Braves back-to-back. They will be facing the Nationals' Gio Gonzalez, Max Scherzer, and Tanner Roark. I don't know, can there be a... It's not a collection of aces, all three of them, but Gio Gonzalez has been quite good this year, outperforming, actually, his indicators quite a bit. And then Max Scherzer... Max Scherzer is making a very strong case already for a Cy Young, which would be what, his third, I guess? His third Cy Young? Does that sound right?
I think it's his third.
Yeah, his third. I think only really Jacob deGrom is the only sort of one within proximity. And Jacob deGrom has had some health problems already this year, and he plays, and I do not necessarily mean this in the flippest of senses, however, he does play for the Mets. And health is a problem for that club. So
yeah.
A difficult series coming up for the Toronto Blue Jays.
This would be Scherzer's fourth Cy Young. Excuse me. He won in 2013, 16, and 17.
Yeah. And then the Atlanta Braves upstart. Do you feel comfortable referring to them as the upstart Atlanta Braves?
Yeah.
Currently owners of the first place in the NL East. And,
Wild times.
The aforementioned Ronald Acuna is playing very well for that club, as are Ozzy Albies and the very surprising Nick Markakis.
Nick Markakis. Mm-hmm. Crazy.
Nick Markakis, in addition to playing right field frequently for the Atlanta Braves, is also editor of the Greek Anthology, over a collection of Greek epigrams from the ancient and Hellenistic periods.
Some parts of that Braves pitching staff. Oh, I interrupted you. I'm a rude guest.
It's fine. You know what we're going to do? We're just going to. You don't have to interrupt me any longer because you. I'm going to. I'm going to excuse you from any further obligation to this program.
Okay.
You can start. You can talk to yourself.
I'm going to go finish this replay piece.
That has been managing editor of the Horrible Times, FanGraphs.com, Meg Rally. Meg, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
All right, that has been Meg Rally. I'm Carson Stooley, and this has been the Pitch Talks Blue Jays Podcast.